You are at war with yourself and likely don't realize it. Your thoughts, beliefs, habits, and actions often sabotage you. Are they helping you overcome adversity or setting you up for failure? To win this battle, you must connect with your inner warrior. We all have a warrior within us, one that strengthens our resolve and helps us to rise to meet life's challenges. If you're just surviving rather than thriving, then it's time to embrace the warrior archetype, live the warrior ethos, and ascend. If you are a veteran, first responder, or someone looking to take charge of your life, find your tribe, and then be the hero of your own story, this podcast is for you. Join Mike Kinney and Matt Hastings, two retired U.S. Army officers who served in U.S. Army Special Operations and Army Aviation Units, as they share with you optimal performance practices they learned in their time with the military and Warriors Ascent, a 501c3 nonprofit that helps veterans and warriors with PTS.
Well, all right, everyone. Welcome to the Warriors Ascent podcast with your host, Mike. Matt is not here. Unfortunately, he's got business, but we have a special guest in Dave Bellis, an alum from the Warriors Ascent program, a Navy veteran, Afghanistan vet, and a small business owner. We're super jazzed to have Dave as a guest. It's going to be a great conversation, but to kind of set the stage, one of the things that I'll call it Dave's byline, you know, for his company, probably his philosophy, right? I'm going to steal his thunder because I love it so much, but be an asset, not a liability, right? So, you know, we'll let that thematic pervade this entire episode, be an asset, not a liability. So a little backstory with Dave, and then I'll let him introduce himself, but you know, he came to the program and he was dealing with some stuff and you could tell, man, hey, this is a guy who's seen a lot, very, you know, highly competent, very capable. And I like to say guys like Dave are like, you know, the ideal client in that open, motivated, willing to trust the process, the whole praxis, you know, theory and practice. Like, all right, hey, I'm going to get after this because I'm motivated to kind of get back on the path to healing. And then even, you know, setbacks. And I know he came back and said, yeah, hey, I had some missteps here or there. But, you know, as we talk about, you know, doubling down on the protocols, right? You know, that's not the time to go and feel sorry for yourself or go, oh, the program doesn't work. So why even bother? No, that's the time you're like, you redouble your efforts and you get back after it. So when I think about that personified, that's Dave Bellis getting after it, man. So, dude, so glad that you're here. This is going to be a great episode. So again, founder, Asset Performance Institute. So, you know, a pitch out to his company. He can tell us about that and we'll go into, you know, even more depth in a subsequent episode. But Navy veteran and of course, Warriors Ascent alumnus. Dude, we're so glad you're here. I'm going to tee up some of your background, but just speak to us.
Yeah, absolutely. So first off, it's, you know, an honor to be here. Thank you so much. This is kind of almost like full circle, but then also a continuing, you know, continuous process. So it never really stops when you're trying to be an asset and not a liability.
and you are an asset, my friend.
But yes. Yeah. So like you said, born and raised in the Kansas City area, primarily grew up in Olathe, was going to college, ended up leaving college and joining the United States Navy. Ended up doing a couple deployments to Afghanistan. From 2010 through 2012. And then when I got back, I was a non-deployable range coach for about 6 months and then got out of the Navy and went back to college. You know, throughout the course of my time in Afghanistan, you know, it's just a lot of convoys and all that type of operation. So it was just a lot of IEDs and all the craziness and RPGs and small arms fires and just getting mortared and all just the
stress, baby.
Yeah, just constant stress and stress and stress, which is, you know, part of the gig at that point. But what brought me to you guys and where we met was when I first got out of the Navy, I got out on November of 2012, and in January I was in college, my first semester.
Right.
And just hopped right back into it and completely ignored everything that was going on with me in my life. And, you know, just went from one job straight into the next, which, you know, 28-year-old, 29-year-old going back to college with a bunch of 18-year-olds. And that was 6 months prior to that, I was in Afghanistan. It went over super well.
So wait, what you've got a term for it. It's like something an override, right? What is it?
Oh, yeah. Like the, like hypervigilance and just.
No, it's like one of your, I'm not going to say your prime directive, you know, you're kind of like, you know, stuff or suppress an override or something.
Oh,
like that.
Ignore an override.
Ignore an override.
Yeah. You it's know. Kind of, that's exactly what it was, man.
Ignore an override. Which didn't serve you well.
No, it did not. Yes. Yeah. It was, you know, and it was kind of crazy how it transpired too, was the first year or so after I got out, it was kind of business as usual. Like I was still just working out, going to school as my job now. So I was just attacking that as much as possible. Like I pulled some kid out in an accounting class and was screaming at him one time and that wasn't very good, but you know, it was interesting, but we got over those hurdles and, you know, apologized and all that stuff. But, anyway, so yeah, I was just ignoring override, like just show up and just do my job and go to school. And that was pretty much it. And then, man, I was sitting in a jiu-jitsu class doing jiu-jitsu one night with guys I trusted my life with, who I'd known my entire life since I was 17.
Right.
And I just started having like a panic attack and everything just kind of went sideways. I mean, I couldn't figure out why. Like, I was super claustrophobic. Everything was closing in. You know, there was no reason I should have been in a panic state in that room with those individuals, but just everything kind of, and then it just started happening more frequently and frequently. And I still just kept ignoring it. Like it just, hey, I'm doing fine now. And I would have these episodes and, you know, every once in a while, and then I'd be fine. And I'd have 6 or 8 weeks of really successful progress and doing great and healthy habits and all of that. And then one weekend I would just crash and just not, you know, be in a good spot. And even back then I was boozing too hard and just, you know, sitting out in the garage and completely checking out mentally and just slamming beers in the garage, peddling with, you know, garbage and, you know, doing small projects and stuff like that was not a good healthy habit or a good way to live, or, you know, how to ignore some of those signs and symptoms that were, you know, going on. So eventually that kind of, you know, took place over a number of years, and, you know, I'd have a stretch of really good, you know, successful times. And then like, you know, one off 2 or 3 or 4 day, you know, just bad, you know, incidences or issues, or, you know, just completely checking out and not, you know, paying attention to anything. And then, my wife was actually having a conversation with a really close family friend of ours who was her boss at a couple different places. And he was like, hey, you know, his brother had some similar issues, or a family member of his had similar issues. And they were Googly searching and found you guys and sent me the link. And I was like, yeah, I'm on board. So I came, showed up.
The rest is history.
The rest is history. So it's kind of a little bit of backstory, what brought me to you guys at least.
Yeah. So. No, I mean, I think so many times people think time and distance, you know, time and space, and it'll all be good if it's unresolved, you know. And I think probably, you know, not to delve too much into that, but, you know, you think, well, hey, man, I'm just going to keep doing the same thing. And, you know, over time, you know, it'll fade and I'll be good to go. And I think, you know, for our part at Warrior Ascent, we do a decent job of kind of helping you process that stuff. I mean, that's the approach, you know. So
for sure.
Really, you know, first and foremost is, you know, ignoring and overriding, you know, I'd say, you know, a lot of the challenge. And we see that, a lot, you know, with a lot of our veterans, especially our super A types like you, you know, are, no, man, I, you know, I cannot be defeated. I will show no weakness.
Ego.
And I'm just going to go and stuff that stuff. And there it is. It goes unresolved. And then it just, you know, it comes back to haunt you. So part of it is eliciting that, like dealing with it, contending with it. But then I think the other power, and, you know, I think we'll mention at the end, you know, some of your takeaways with, you know, the System 1 and System 2 from Daniel Kahneman, a lot of cognitive behavioral stuff. But those constructs that really help you, I'll say, adequately process thoughts. And there's a variety of other rubrics that Dr. Leese brings to the table in terms of, you know, daily thought records and things of that nature. You know, the cognitive behavioral triangle, right? Your thoughts drive your emotions, which drive your actions, and, you know, a variety of other things, all of which I think are helpful in saying, why is it that I'm feeling this way? What are the thoughts that are driving that? And then how do I use my System 2 logic to, you know, retool that? So anyway.
Well, and I think that a lot of what goes in that is kind of what you mentioned or alluded to is ego as well, right? Like, I was like, hey, I can fix this myself. I can, you know, I don't, you know, I know we, you know, we put it up there. It's kind of like, or we'll talk about it in a minute. It's kind of like knowing is way different than doing. So I know what the successful habits are. I know what the habit, what I should be doing, but knowing and doing are two separate things. And even when I showed up to Warriors Ascent that very first day, like I felt super probably guilty for being there. And the thought that was going through my head is, how did I let myself get to the point where I needed to come here for 5 days and separate myself from the world and just work on me? Because we have this vision in our mind of who we are and how I act and what my values and character are and all these, right, perceptions and, how I was acting in these downward spells, or, every 6-8 weeks, when I would just mentally check out, was not matching my ideal vision of myself and my successful self and all the other ego-driven garbage that we put on ourselves. So being able to like check out and have the tools and resources to, or not check out, but like check in to Warriors Ascent,
right,
and,
check out from the world,
check out from the world,
the frenetic pace of the world.
Yeah. And just really kind of like dive deep into healthier habits and get some of those tools and resources was extremely helpful. But yeah, it was a struggle. It wasn't that I saw it as a challenge. Like, yeah, I'm going to go do this. Like, it wasn't for me. I know sometimes so many people just make excuses as to not, why not to show up. And that's just not worse. And that's across the board when people are trying to get help. They get to the border of like, hey, I'm going to go get help. And then right before they do it, they're like,
We deal with that, man. I mean, you're touching on some things that I think are worth, I'll say, explicating. One is exactly that. I mean, I like to say, I was talking to one of our clinicians. It's almost like a sine wave, right? So sinusoidal, right? Woof. Where, you got highs and lows, and people, I think a lot of times maybe apply to our program when they're in that low, right? And they're like, I need help, and they've reached rock bottom. And then what happens, a couple weeks, days, weeks go on, or months, in the case of, if it's over the winter and we're not running a class for a while, then they start feeling a little bit better and they're like, all right, I'm handling it. okay. And then they choose not to come or whatever it might be. And then they hit that trough again, at the bottom. Oof. And then they're right back to where they started. They're like, oh my God, so there's that. The other notion, what you were saying, we've heard it multiple times. I want to say Matt Hastings, right? So, obviously our podcast co-host is not here today.
Amazing.
He shares that story all the time. Exactly that. It's like, how did I let it get to this?
Yeah,
like,
because I'm here.
Right? Because you're doing what you're doing. You're a high performer. He's a CW4, instructor pilot, 5,000 hours. And it's like, and now I'm here at this retreat trying to get myself better. Oh my God. How did I let it get to this? But here's what I'll say. And, for the veterans in particular that are listening, but, anyone in the military, you've got what they call preventative maintenance checks and services, right? Yeah. You know it all too well. I'm sure they, the Navy's got the same thing, exactly. Right? Swabbing the decks.
PMCS, baby.
Right, PMCS. No, exactly. For vehicles and equipment and weapon systems or what have you. And, and you use the metaphor, it's just like, hey, I'm kind of, broken. How did I let it get to this? And it's the same thing with, I'll say the weapon system, right? I mean, if you don't maintain the weapon system and it breaks, then guess what? You've got to replace it, or you got to get it fixed, or it's going to depot level maintenance or whatever it might be, depending upon how catastrophic the deficiency is. But if you're not doing the daily PMCS to make sure that that thing is taken care of, that system, then don't be surprised when it breaks down and you are non-mission capable, right? Because we all want to be FMC, right? Full mission capable, fully mission capable, right? But no, all joking aside, I'd say that's the power of the program, even though you're getting a big dose, a 5-day content. That's like the equivalent of, depot level maintenance, man. Okay, you got to go back and get retooled and replaced. Yep. But the ideal is, I think, going forward, as you would agree, I'd imagine, is the tools that you learn, it's not a one and done. You got a five-day program that really immersed you in that stuff. And then you go forward and you never do that stuff again, right? Because you're like, hey, I did it for 5 days. I'm good now. No, now you've seen kind of, quote unquote, what right looks and feels like. And this is the PMCS that you need to do routinely in order to keep your weapon system, you know, engaged and fully functioning and fully mission capable. Because be an asset, not a liability.
Right? Yeah.
So what are your thoughts there, man?
Yeah, no, I think that's 100% accurate, because I told you, and I've had this conversation with, you know, Carrie Stewart, the other one of the other providers at Warriors Ascent. It's when I first left Warriors Ascent, I knew it. I knew going back home, like, hey, we were, you know, it was the same thing on deployments where you get in this mind state and you get in this atmosphere and you're in this bubble. And then you get pulled out of that bubble. You're going back into the real world. And talking about Warriors Ascent, it's like, hey, you've been here for five days. You made these amazing connections. You made breakthroughs. You've, you know, gone through this whole process. But now you're going back into the real world with coworkers and maybe a spouse who's been under stress for the last 5 days because, you know, she's been at home with the kids and you're here or whatever.
That's right.
Or vice versa. So, I mean, I didn't listen to like the radio for 3 weeks because I was trying to recreate this bubble because I knew how fragile that was going back into it and trying to like keep this, you know, keep this like even keeled tone to where I was doing my yoga every night and I was following the protocols and whatnot. And that happened and it was great. And I was able to keep that up for quite a while when I left. And then slowly I started kind of like integrating a lot of my normal routine back into my life. And it was the first 3 to 4 months afterwards, Ascent was really great. I saw a big change in like my hypervigilance and, you know, being just going from, you know, because before I came there, there was a one point where I wouldn't even have to be involved in like road rage. I could see a road rage incident 200 yards in front of me involving two other cars swerving and screaming and honking at each other. And my brain would go from 0 to 60. Yeah. I would go from like, oh, I'm fine to like, dude, you're about to get in a gunfight type, to, you know, right. And it's just completely irrational, but that's where I was at.
But you're seeing hostility, you know, so.
Yeah, yeah. And you just kind of like fight or flight mode, your body getting white knuckling the steering wheel. But afterwards, Ascent, like I was able to kind of double down on these protocols, and it was probably 3 or 4 months. And then I just got busy with life and started neglecting myself again and started whatever. And I had a couple incidences to where I just kind of like, you know, fell off the cliff and isolated and just really just had some bad weekends. But one thing that I definitely pulled out of Warriors Ascent too was like giving myself grace in some of those down times.
That's right.
And there were fewer and far between, right?
Yep.
And so when I would, you know, get down or have a bad 2 or 3 days, I was able to like bounce back a lot faster. Right. Instead of like beating myself up for a week or a week and a half and just kind of being like throwing all everything out the window.
Right.
I was able to like after 1 or 2 days go, okay, nope, double down on the protocols, get back after it. And then it was like another month or two and I had maybe one more, you know, just bad weekend where it was just, you know, same thing, crap, and then double down on the protocols. And now it's probably been a year and a half, and like everything's just, I mean, life's like the stock market. You're going to go up and there's going to be crap weekends and there's going to be bad things that happen.
Getting around it. Yeah.
But I haven't had any major like
setbacks.
And, you know, it was over 2 years ago that I came to Warriors Ascent now. So, yeah, I mean, for the last year and a half or at least over a year, like it's been great. Like, you know, life's not perfect. Bad things happen. Like it hasn't been, you know, there's been struggles, but absolutely nothing like prior to coming to Warriors Ascent or anything like that. So
no, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So we'll go into, you know, say takeaways from WA after, but so for now, you know, talk about API, you know, and we'll talk, I think more in a subsequent episode, we can really talk about, I'll say your philosophy, that of your organization and all that stuff. And that's really, we'll get the full treatment, man. But we can't go an episode without talking about the great things that you've done in terms of API and, you know, your journey there. So,
yeah, no. So I started API in July of 2022 was really when I kind of founded it and then started working towards, towards developing the business. After I got out of the military, I got a marketing degree from the University of Kansas. And then, you know, during that whole process of doing business development, it wasn't really where my passion was. It just turned into kind of being a normal sales job for me.
Right.
And I wasn't happy there and wasn't really what I wanted to do. And they had changed like a, it was kind of like, this was the catalyst. They had changed a bonus structure for us and like completely took like thousands upon thousands of dollars out of our bonus structure and out of our pocket and really kind of screwed us over to like, to say the least. I mean, that was just, kind of the reality of it.
Something to be said about that, you know, and then being the captain of your own ship, master of your own destiny. I mean, even if it's like, all right, I'm not yet making what I was.
Yeah.
That's cool because you work for one dude.
Yeah. Control over it. But so I went back to University of Kansas, got an exercise science degree, and then started coaching and just starting getting as much experience as I could. I was able to intern for the University of Kansas Division One football team underneath their new coach there, who's incredible. Their whole coaching staff was awesome. I also worked at the University of Kansas Sports Performance Center with high school athletes and college athletes and track clubs and all that, and then was coaching, started to coach tactical professionals, police officers, military, veterans, all that type of stuff. And really kind of where the idea for API was born out of was seeing the need that so many of our first responders, firefighters, police officers, typically, at least in the state of Kansas and Missouri, are only getting about 40 hours of training a year.
Right.
And from the conversations that I have with these individuals, a lot of it is classroom training. You might get some medical training here or there, or some range time, but a lot of it is like, hey, let's sit down and on the police side, it's let's watch this video of a bad traffic accident and then discuss how we could have done better or what are better protocols or whatever that looks like. And I'm sure there's a lot of different training that they go through, but the majority of them keep telling me it's like 40 hours a year. And I was like, you know, with all these, you can never mitigate all the risk and you can never stop bad things from happening. Like people are just going to, you know, do bad things and officers are going to have to respond.
That's right.
But what we know is that if you are more physically fit, you are better able to respond in, you know, stressful situations cognitively than if you are unhealthy and unfit. And when you're sitting in a vehicle for 6-7 hours a shift and you're not getting out and moving the sedentary lifestyle, you know, and we've made some posts about that on what the percentages are and how long they're in a vehicle. And, you know, a gentleman that went through the cohort with me is a police officer in Denver, and I went on ride-alongs with him just to get the full experience of like, man, what are we doing here? Like, how can we better serve you guys? How can we better serve the fire department when you're at the firehouse? And, you know, so these, and the thing that I really connect with these guys on, and, you know, I feel so much for them, is that some of our first responders see so much trauma on a day-to-day basis.
Yes.
Like if you're in the military, if you're in the military, I mean, one out of every 10 guys is a door kicker, right? And like going outside the wire. And now that the global war on terror has come to an end, you know, there's guys who have served who have never seen combat, or, you know, there's individuals in certain branches of, you know, the United States military who have never even deployed outside the United States. And I love our service members to death. Don't get me wrong. They're my brothers and my sisters. But the EMT, the firefighter that's responding to car crashes and hurt kids and people, you know, like they see more trauma on a day-to-day basis than a lot of our military members do.
I think people misconstrue, you know, hey, if your life is not in imminent danger, then, you know, you're not going to have post-traumatic stress. But, you know, our first responders, you know, and veterans for that matter too as well, you know, we'll corroborate that. Yeah. And you can just see horrible, horrible stuff on a day-to-day basis, especially, you know, kids and stuff. And that is more than enough to just put someone over the edge.
Yeah.
And we see it all the time.
And just looking at like what exercise and fitness does to the brain, what it does for people's health and wellness, just what it does for their sanity in general. There's a lot of science and a lot of research behind that. And, you know, it shrinks the amygdala so much. And, you know, it's where the fight or flight, you know, and the pancreas and all that type of, you know, we'll get too sciencey here, but like it's so much goes into, you know, into that, that I think it's just it's a need. And we've, you know, partnered with nutritionists and dietitians and mental health and wellness individuals to really kind of bring fire departments and police departments a holistic, you know, program of resiliency that we can offer. And, you know, in the case of train the trainers programs and workshops, and we have an app that they can get on, and all the strength and conditioning programs are on the app. And there's, you know, the whole suite of things that we can do for a department to, you know, start seeing better return to work rates, better less injury rates, better return to work rates, health, you know, health metrics start to climb and all that. So that's kind of the trajectory that we're going, you know, that's kind of where we're at with it.
So. No, I mean, the physical component is absolutely critical. And as you pointed out, you know, it feeds into the mental as well. I mean, you see so many, and it's not even just, you know, again, veterans and first responders. I remember hearing the concept of 0 hour PE, you know, doing some reading, trying to, you know, give your kids a leg up, like, all right, well, how do I really set them, you know, set them up for success? And hey, what's the literature say on, you know, exercise and this and that? And I remember one study where they did 0 hour PE, which is the kids would show up before class and run laps on the track, which I thought, oh, that's hardcore, right? Yeah. And they'd have a heart monitor so they couldn't sham, because if they didn't hit a certain heart rate, they'd make them run again. So it wasn't the case that, oh, you just walk laps and you call it good. It's like, no, you will exert yourself. Okay. And their standardized test scores went through the roof. It's amazing. Okay. When I was at the School of Advanced Military Studies, you know, at Fort Leavenworth and the Command and General Staff College, they said that, yeah, that they were doing a study where they were correlating PT scores with just, you know, overall cognitive ability. And come to find, you know, those that kept up a very, I'll say, stringent PT regimen, right, did well. And those that were like, you know, hey, I'm going to slough off because I'm not in an operational unit anymore. Well, that's not really good. So before we lose the bubble on this, so takeaways from Warrior's Ascent, and then, you know, in your experience, I know that you shared those with us. And then also, you know, for the audience, things that maybe they could take away and employ. So the biggest thing for me is speak to us about knowing versus doing.
Oh yeah. 1000%. So, like I said, I tried to be as successful as possible prior to showing up to Warrior's Ascent, right? Like, you can get online and, you know, you can research all the motivational videos and read books and all that, and, you know, bring in all the information. But until you actually put your, you know, work to the grindstone, like, you're not, you know, knowing is completely different than doing. You can know what all the right things are to do. And I showed up to Warrior's Ascent, and there's things that we started talking about the first day or two. And I was like, I've heard this before. Like, it's good. It's a good refresher for me. And then they started going into other topics. I was like, oh, I've never heard that. Like, it's a different system that I've never heard. Or it's a different way of thinking about, like, how your brain works, or, you know, the emotional response to things, and, you know, the fight or flight versus, you know, system one and system two, fast thinking versus slow thinking, methodical versus, like, how can I pull detached from a situation, right? And then try and take a different look at it versus just being reactive.
That's right.
And when you consistently try and study that and implement that into your thought process, it can really affect and have a good effect on how you actually think. That was a huge takeaway for me, especially like the vehicle stuff and driving and claustrophobia, and which I don't really even have a problem with that now. It's funny. It's like before I came to Warrior's Ascent, you know, especially even going to KU, there was times like I couldn't even get on an elevator just because I would freak out. Like, I wouldn't, you know, heart start racing, panic. It was just weird. And then I would get so pissed at myself because I'd be like, dude,
you're like, what's wrong with
you?
You
like spent, you know, 2 deployments to Afghanistan, you've done all this other crap, right, like blah, 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 like in an elevator, setting you off. Like, what is this? Like,
okay.
But being able to detach for that 5 days and come in there and learn some of those things. And then just really, like we, like you say over and over again, it's double down on the protocols. So that was a big one.
Yeah. Connection.
Oh gosh. Yeah. And that's kind of a funny one too. Like, prior to Warrior's Ascent, and if you look back, I think it's gotten a lot better now. But when I got out in like 2013, 14, 15, 16, throughout that mid-2000s, that vet bro culture was very, like, very heavily, like, being pushed.
Right.
And I would get online and I would see, and it was reinforcing, and it was, you know, veterans drinking whiskey and pounding cases of beer and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, That was kind of how you almost stay connected with your service and with other veterans or whatever. It was like boozing and partying and whatever. And
that's right.
It's like just not,
not conducive, not conducive to, not that there's not, you know, anything wrong with people having fun once in a while.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, go enjoy your libations, do whatever you do. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not here to, you know, completely slam all that at all, but it just, when that kind of becomes a lifestyle and a detriment, and then you start seeing like the epidemic and the veteran, you know, and now I look back and a lot of those guys that were partaking in, you know, online influencers and big names in the veteran space, they've all kind of molded over to this healthier lifestyle habit. They're pushing out, which is awesome now. But yeah, when I first got out, I mean, four or five years after I got out, it's like, hey, I'm back in college. I didn't have a college experience before, really.
So you're gonna make
I'm living it up now, which was not good. Coming there and finding that is it, man.
I think that's all we got time for. We get shut down.
Yeah.
No, and the last one, yeah, give yourself grace. So, you know, don't beat up on yourself. So we'll have Dave on for another episode. He'll go more into, you know, I'll say the philosophy of API and just how he does business. So hope you all got a lot out of this. Glad to have you, brother.
Thank you.
That
was an honor.
Yeah. Appreciate y'all. We will see you all next time.
Hi. Matt Hastings here, sending a thank you for watching this episode of the Warriors Ascent podcast. You know, we strive to build a community of warriors made up of our nation's veterans and first responders. And to reach as many of those in need as possible, we need your help. Please just smash that like button and comment or share our content. Warriors Ascent is a Kansas City-based nonprofit that aids veterans and first responders with PTS. I went through this effective program and want those that are struggling to find what I found. Check us out on our website at warriorsascent.org.